वसुदेव सुतं देवं कंसचानुरमार्दनं देवकी परमानंदं कृष्णं वंदे जगद्गुरुं। I salute Krishna, the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, who is God incarnate, and by whose grace the mute become eloquent and the lame scale mountains. Let Krishna be the guide of our life. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, peace, peace. Bhagavad Gita. In this second chapter of the Gita, we find the quintessence of the Gita. In the first chapter, Arjuna was submerged in grief. He was confused about his duty. In the second chapter, Krishna tried to remove that confusion and delusion and fear from the mind of Arjuna by giving him, imparting him the wisdom of Sankhya. What is the wisdom of Sankhya? Atmatatya, knowledge of the self. So Krishna elaborately talked about the Atman, the nature of the Atman, the nature of the real self. He said, Avinashi tu tad vidhi na sarvamidam tatam. Know it for certain, O Arjuna. You are that indestructible one. You are pervaded in everything and every being. You are thinking it is not good for you to fight against your friends and relatives. But they are all Atman. They are all the same Brahman. Antabanta ime deha nitya swakta sharirinaha anashino aprameyasya tasmat yuddhasya bharata. Listen, human bodies have beginning and also end. But the Atman, the indwelling self, is indestructible. If you think you have killed the self, you are mistaken. If you think that you are slain or you are killed, you are also mistaken. Atman cannot be cut by the sword, cannot be wet by water, cannot be dried by air, cannot be burnt by fire. You are that self. It is birthless, deathless, eternal, unmodified, beyond thought, immutable. Those who have experienced this Atman, the Self, consider the Self as something wondrous. People speak about the Self. As something wonderful. Something wonderful. Like this, Krishna talked about the self to Arjuna and was thinking that this self-knowledge will illumine Arjuna's heart and will put him to action. but it did not work. You see, though Arjuna did not ask further question in that connection, but Krishna, the all-knowing Brahman, all-knowing God, read Arjuna's mind and found that Arjuna was not convinced. So he started another series of instruction. That series of instruction is called Wisdom of Action. Wisdom of Action, Karma Yoga, is essential for self-knowledge. But Swami, what do you mean? Knowledge is knowledge, action is action. External purities, cleanliness, mental cleanliness are necessary for self-knowledge. You see, you cannot experience I am the Atman all of a sudden without going through these spiritual disciplines, without going through these preliminary instructions of Karma Yoga. Krishna says, verse number 39, Ishate obhita sankhi buddhir yogi tu imam shrinu buddha yukto yaya partha karma bandham prahashasi. Ishate obhita, what has been declared to you is the wisdom of Sankhya. Now listen to the wisdom of Yoga, armed with which, O Sanaprita, you will break through the bonds of karma. Krishna says, so far I told you about the nature of the self, so that you can get the glimpse of the self, the Atman, but you didn't. So I shall give you some instructions on Karma Yoga, so that you can get a clean mind, and with that clean mind you will understand this self, this Atman. Buddhir yogi tu imam shrinu buddha yuktoya karma bandham prahashyasi. And when you get that self-knowledge, you will be able to destroy the bonds of action. Bond of action. It is an interesting term Krishna used in the Gita. Karma bandham. Action is bondage. As I told you several many times, according to Vedanta, this avidya, kama, karma are rotating in a cyclic order. Avidya means ignorance. Ignorance creates desires. Desires create activity. And these activities again create ignorance. So in this way, they are continuously rotating. Ignorance, desire, action. Ignorance, desire, action. Action, desire, ignorance. In this way, this cycle is continuously rotating. And now if you enter this wheel of karma, very difficult to get rid of it. Very difficult. You know that, what is called, fairy's wheel, that merry-go-round, you know. If you sit there once, and when it starts to rotate, you cannot jump from that place, you will die. You will have to ask that person who is rotating to stop that wheel, Ferris wheel. When it stops, then you can get out from that wheel. So God is rotating, moving this entire wheel of karma, this Jagat Chakra, it is rotating. And He is the man who put all these human beings into that wheel. And you are thinking, oh, I am fine, I am enjoying, oh. You know, sometimes you will find parents sit with their kids and they laugh and they smile and it is continuously rotating, that wheel. But if you want to get rid of that place, if you want freedom, You'll have to ask that person who is rotating that wheel. He will release you if he wants to. If he can stop the, he can stop the wheel and say, get out from this place. Your turn is over. Or if you cry and if you, you know, feel uncomfortable, or if you are sick, immediately that man will stop the wheel and will take you out. Because that for one person, the other people should not suffer. The other people are enjoying that wheel, that movement. Try to see this world in this way. Action, activity, brings bondage. With Swami, we don't feel it. You feel it time to time. Family life, you know, husband will have to obey his wife, wife also will have to obey her husband. Then children, social commitments, these, that. There are so many things. You are bound. Same thing in monastic life also. Look, we are bound, yeah? In this place, but we can leave any time if we want to. But where will you go? If you go to the forest, bondage will go with you. If you go to the cave of the mountain, you will carry your same mind. Main thing is, learn how to be desireless. Then and then only you are free. You may live in the crowded city. That does not mean you are bound. If you are free from desire, free from attachment, you are free even in family life. And if you are too much attachment, even in the monastery, you are bound. So, you know, bondage and liberation are not in the monastery or in the house, family house, or in the forest, or in the cave. Everything is in the mind. Krishna says, I am going to tell you the technique of yoga which will release you from the bonds of Maya. Karma bandham prahashasi. Those who have dogs have belt buckle, you know, you tie the dog and go out for a walk. The dog knows that he is bound. He cannot go any place as he likes. Same thing, we are all bound by what? By Maya. We have no freedom. Vedanta teaches how to get freedom from this bondage of Maya. Nature must be my slave. I shall make the nature slave. I read a beautiful story. In India, sometimes Bedouin people, gypsy people, go from village to village with some kind of show. That is the way they make their living. It may be snake show or monkey show. And they take two monkeys, one male, another female. And they talk and the monkeys behave like that. And they tie the neck of the monkey with a chain. And they have a domuru, some kind of drum. Dum, 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 dum. They make noise while they pass through the street. And all kids, you know, and people surround those gypsy people and say, show us your game. Well, you will have to pay. Oh, sure, we shall pay. So he sits in the corner or in a park and he starts to show all this, you know, snake show or monkey show. At the end of the day, if the poor monkey was thinking, one of my ancestors crossed the ocean and served Lord Rama. Look, I am bound, my neck is tied with this belt. I have no freedom. So even this thought came in the mind of a monkey, and we all human beings, at the end of the day, do we think that way, that we are bound? We don't think. We think we are all right, you know, normal, natural people. We are not. So long you are in the domain of Maya, you are blind, walking, groping in darkness. Krishna says, I am going to tell you about Karma Yoga, which will destroy the bond of karma. Next verse 40. Nihavi kramanashosti pratyavaya navidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. In this, no effort is ever lost and no harm is ever done. Even very little of these dharma saves a man from the great fear. Nehavi kramanashosti prithvayo na vidyati. This karma yoga, unselfish action, purifies the mind. Karma will not give you illumination directly, but indirectly, it will purify the mind, and with that pure mind, you will get the vision of yourself. There are two kinds of spiritual disciplines: external disciplines, internal disciplines. External disciplines are five limbs of yoga: yama, inner control; niyama, external control; posture, breath control, withdrawing the mind from the senses. These five limbs of yoga are connected with external spiritual discipline. And the internal disciplines are concentration, meditation, and samadhi. According to Vedanta, shravana, hearing, manana, reflection, and nididhyasana, meditation, are the three internal or inner disciplines. Swami, what shall I hear? Hearing. You will have to hear about yourself, about the Atma, about God. Then you will have to think about it. And after thinking, you will have to meditate upon it. Then you will get the revelation of the self. Those who practice spiritual disciplines, please remember, they are not illumined. They might have some kinds of experiences, no doubt, but so long a person practices disciplines means he has not attained perfection. Well, how can you say that, Swami? Well, if you want to practice spiritual discipline, you need an ego. Without ego, no spiritual discipline is possible. I shall go to the shrine. I shall meditate. I shall repeat the mantra. Without ego, no disciplines are possible. Without ego, no action is possible. When ego dies or dissolves, a person attains the self, becomes one with the Atma. You remember that the first meeting of AIM with Sri Ramakrishna. It was evening. Aim entered Sri Ramakrishna's room and found there was incense was burning, and he was thinking, it is the time for meditation, so it is better not to disturb this holy man. So M said to Sri Ramakrishna, "Sir, I think it is the time for your spiritual discipline. Let me go. Let me leave." "Oh no, sit down. That stage is over." Just see, the first conversation that evening, "Now sit down." An illumined soul enjoys Sahaja Yoga. Do you know what is Sahaja Yoga? Sahaja Yoga is constant recollectedness of God. He thinks of the Lord all the time, so he will not have to select a time that morning and evening or 12 o'clock at noon. He is beyond time. The word yoga often has been misunderstood, especially in the West, as the practice of certain physical exercises. These exercises are not yoga, they are asanas. Neither is music or dancing yoga. There may be musicians in India who say their music is yoga, but it is not. There may be dancers who claim that dancing is yoga, but I am afraid it is not. Yoga is the practice of meditation and the allied spiritual disciplines. When the senses are stilled, when the mind is stilled, when the intellect is stilled, when the ego is stilled, then the state of perfect yoga is reached. Nehabhi kramanashosti prittvayo nabhittate salpa matyasya dharmasya trate mahato bhayat. Krishna says, if you start to practice or if you want to perform a certain kind of sacrifice, Vedic sacrifice, and if you do not complete it, you will not get the result of that sacrifice. You started your journey and you did not complete it, you will not reach the goal. You will have to come back to your home again. And again, you will have to start the journey from your home. It is an interesting thing. Ever lost. A religious rite or ceremony undertaken for a definite object is left uncompleted, is wasted, like an incomplete house, which is neither serviceable nor enduring. In the case of sickness, of the use of the wrong medicine may result in death. Likewise, certain forms of worship, if carelessly performed or left unfinished, produce positive loss instead of gain. But this thing does not happen in Nishkam Karma. Krishna says, if you perform a little unselfish action for others, or Ishvare Prityartham, for pleasing God, that is your profit, it will never leave you. That result will come to you either this life or next. It will be there. Nothing is lost. Moreover, Krishna promised, Trayate Mahato Bhayat, it will save you from great fear. What is the great fear? Reincarnation. Constant birth and death. Birth and death. Why, Swami, Nishkam Karma, how will it stop my birth and death? Nishkam Karma will clean your mind, and with that clean mind you will get the reflection of the self, and with that self-knowledge you will have to come back again. That self-knowledge destroys ignorance. And if you have no ignorance, you have no desire. If you have no desire, you have no action. If you have no action, you are free. All are interconnected. Salpam apyasya dharmasya. It is a great saying of the Gita. Salpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. A little performance of Nishkam Karma saves a soul from great fear. Little, even a little. Eknath says, for me, this is one of the most memorable verses in the Gita, and it will take a lifetime on the spiritual path to appreciate its applicability to every aspect of human life. When we meditate on the Lord within for even a short time every day, this effort is not wasted. Even if we meditate only 30 minutes every morning and try to practice the allied spiritual disciplines to a small extent during the day, this can go a long way in guarding us against many fears, known and unknown, which lurk in our consciousness. Most of us have fears of losing what we believe gives us security. Those who go after money are doing so under the impression that this is the way to become secure. They are the victim, the toy of the stock exchange. There are others who are afraid of losing their youth. Beauty has nothing to do with age. We can be beautiful in childhood, in youth, and in old age to the extent we are unselfish. To be secure, we must find the source of security within ourselves. The advice given by Sri Krishna in the Gita is simple and profound. If times are bad today, try to contribute the best you can to the welfare of those around you. If times are good today, also try to contribute the best you can to the welfare of those around you. You can serve others, no matter if times are good or bad. This is the choice we make in order to find security within ourselves. Nehabhi krumunashosti pratyabhayo nabhidhati. Pratyabhay means harm, sin. Suppose you served one afflicted person today. You could easily serve at least 4 people, but you didn't. But at least the result of serving one person will be with you. That result will always remain with you. Pratyabhaya. Do you know what is called pratyabhaya? It is an interesting term in Mimamsa philosophy. There are various kinds of karma. Sakam karma, karma with motive. Nishkam karma, karma without motive. Nitya karma, daily obligatory action. Nishuddha karma, forbidden action. Then Naimittika karma. Occasionally we do some kind of work, such as special worship. It is Naimittika karma. We do not do that type of worship every day, occasionally, for the welfare of all. In this way, the teachers of Vedanta divided karma in many ways. The yogis also divided karma in 3 ways. Shukla karma, white action, means virtuous action. Krishna karma, means unrighteous action. Mistra karma, means mixed action, some good, some bad. So through mixed action, we get human body. Through good action, we get divine body. Through unrighteous action, we get subhuman body. We get subhuman bodies. So you see, a karma is of various kinds. Nitya karma, daily obligatory duties, destroys your day-to-day shortcomings, result of your shortcomings. Let me give an example, then I shall explain to you what is nitya karma. You have a brass pot. If you wash it, you know, clean it every day, then it will be dazzling, just like gold. The moment you You know, if you do not do it, next day you will find some stain on that brass pot. Similarly, you are supposed to clean your mind every day. With what? You will have to clean your mind with Shandha Bandhana through prayer, meditation, japam, and study. Then your mind will be clean. As your brass pot becomes clean, if you wash, clean it every day, so the mind becomes clean if you clean it or through these spiritual disciplines. So the Brahmins, the teachers of Vedanta, advise to practice this type of obligatory activities. But after illumination, you will not have to do all those things. It is for the beginners. So, prittavayo na vidyate. If you do this unselfish action, your mind will never be rusted, will never be unclean. You see, these spiritual disciplines are necessary to clear the mind, to make the mind pure, so that you can get the glimpse of your own self. Next verse.
व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धि रेकेह कुरु नंदन बहुशाखाहि अनंति अस्य बुद्धयो व्यवसायिनम व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धि इन दिस औसान कुरु देयर इज ओनली वन रिजोल्यूट एंड अनवेवरिंग थॉट बट द थॉट्स ऑफ द इररिजोल्यूट आर मेनी ब्रांच्ड एंड अनएंडिंग व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धि एक इह इन दिस कर्म योग द मैन ऑफ स्टेज विजडम हैज वन पॉइंटेड इंटेलेक्ट बट दोज हु आर इग्नोरेंट देयर माइंड्स आर स्कैटर्ड इन ऑल डायरेक्शंस सो इफ यू वांट टू बी अ योगी इफ यू वांट टू अटेन सक्सेस इन योर लाइफ You must have one-pointed mind. This nishkam karma, unselfish action, will bring that concentration.
Yamimam pushpitam vacham prabhadanti vipashitaha vidvadarada partha nanna dostiti vadinaha कामत्मन सर्गपरा जन्म कर्म फल प्रदम क्रिया विशेष बहुन बहुलाम भवैश्वर्यम गति प्रति भवैश्वर्य प्रसाक्ता तया बर्त चेसा व्यवसायत्मिका बुद्धि समाद न विधीयते ओ पार्थ नो रेजोल्यूट एंड अनवेवरिंग थॉट इज फॉर्म्ड इन द माइंड्स ऑफ दोज हु आर डीपली अटैच्ड टू प्लेजर एंड पावर हु अलाउ देयर डिस्क्रिमिनेशन to be stolen away by the flowery words of the unwise, who permit their souls to be ridden with desires, who regard the attainment of heaven as the highest goal, and who take great delight in quoting the panegyric texts of the Vedas and declare that besides this there is nothing. These texts promise rebirths as the reward of their action, and lay down specific rites for the attainment of pleasure and power. Krishna cautioned Arjuna that in the Vedas we find various kinds of promise, we find various kinds of results from various kinds of sacrifices. You see, Vedas has two portions. The first portion is called Karma Kanda, or working portion of the Vedas. And the second section is called Jnana Kanda, the knowledge portion of the Vedas. In the Karma Kanda, in the action part, activity part, we find various kinds of sacrifices. For example, Agnihotra sacrifice. If you practice Agnihotra sacrifice, you will go to heaven.
or Jyotishtam sacrifice, Vishwadeva sacrifice. There are various kinds of sacrifices, various kinds of rituals, various kinds of prayers. If you go through them, you will go to heaven. Moreover, they promise various kinds of prosperity, you know, worldly prosperity, that you will get this, you will get beautiful wife, you will get plenty of children, you will get a lot of wealth, you will get kingdom. This type of promise is there. The scripture promised all these things, that if you perform this, you will get this, you will perform this, you will get this. So people get deluded hearing those beautiful promises and they succumbed. They are succumbed to that temptation. Krishna cautioned Arjuna, please don't listen to those unwise people. They want to enjoy the world. They want worldly as well as celestial enjoyments. That is their goal. So Arjuna, if you want to be a yogi, if you want to attain that self, don't listen to them. You see, heaven, you know, in this country also, the Christians, they are very fond of thinking of their heaven, that I shall go to heaven, I shall stay, live with God. It is very, very common in this country. But if you try to analyze heaven rationally, you will find that heaven is also within the domain of Maya. There you will get enjoyment, celestial enjoyment, maybe a little fine type of enjoyment, but that is also enjoyment. Vedanta says that whatever you acquire through action is subject to destruction. There is no exception to this rule. Through pure action, for example, through righteous action, performing those sacrifices or philanthropic activities, you may acquire some virtues, no doubt, and with that virtue, you may attain heaven. But after consuming the result of those actions, you will have to come back to the earth. Krishna will tell us this thing in the 11th chapter of the Gita. Kshine punye martalokam vishanti. After consuming the result of the actions in heaven, these people come back to the earth again. So you may stay in heaven perhaps a million years or 1,000 years or whatever Lord knows, but again you will have to come back. That is not the final. Vedanta promises final thing, that is freedom, liberation. Freedom from good and freedom from evil. Permanent liberation. There is no more coming and going. And that liberation, that freedom, is God Himself. You will be one with God. But if you have desire that, you know, I shall go and enjoy that celestial enjoyment, again you will have to come back. So Vedanta does not promise heaven. Vedanta promises liberation, mukti, freedom. So Krishna cautioned Arjuna, don't listen to those so-called wise people. They may promise many good things to you and delude you, but that is not the goal of human life. You might have $1,000,000, you might have a beautiful home, you might have beautiful husband, wife, children, you might have all this worldly name, fame, power, position, but that is not the goal. Bhagishajya prashaktanam tayaparhita chitasam Arjuna. Their minds are stolen by this hankering for name, fame, power, position, wealth. They're addicted to wealth. Vyavasayatmika buddhi samadavna vidhyate. With Vyavasayatmika buddhi, that one-pointed mind, that steady mind, cannot be attained if you are yield, if you are succumbed to temptation, that Krishna said to Arjuna.
The next verse.
Triguna Vishaya Veda Nistriguna Bhavarjuna Nirdanda Nitya Sattvastho Yogakshemo Nirjogakshemo Atmavan.
The Vedas deal with the three gunas. Be free, O Arjuna, from the three gunas. Be free from the pairs of opposites. Be always established in sattva. Do not try to acquire what you lack or preserve what you have. Be established in the self.
Let me explain to you this Purusha and Prakriti and these three gunas. This is called Shankha Yoga. Here is Purusha, here is Prakriti. This Prakriti has 24 principles and Purusha is separate from them. From pure Prakriti, from nature, evolved Mahatattva, cosmic intelligence. Prakriti is the cosmos. From this cosmos first evolved cosmic intelligence. From cosmic intelligence to from cosmic intelligence, ego, aham tattva, then the mind. Prakriti, mahat tattva, ego, mind, four. Then five tanmatras. Organs of action, organs of knowledge, or five pranas. So 20 and 24. And Purusha is separate from them. Purusha is the witness, conscious principle. Prakriti is matter. Prakriti has three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. Actually, they are separate. But due to the vicinity of Purusha, this Prakriti starts to agitate. These three gunas start to agitate. And just they combine. So these three gunas live together. Sattva guna is called goodness, good qualities. Rajas is activity and tamas is inertia. How do they function? It is difficult to translate the word guna, the English word quality. Is only a rough equivalent. According to the cosmological theory presented in the Gita, everything in the universe is a combination of the three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. In varying proportions, we human beings also are considered to be varying combinations of sattva, law, rajas, energy and tamas, inertia. Evolution is from tamas to rajas to sattva. The far-reaching concept not only accounts for the way in which human beings conduct themselves in daily life, but also gives guidelines as to how we can proceed on the path of evolution by transforming tamas into rajas and rajas into sattva. Let us first take our good old companion tamas, inertia. Tamas shows itself in not wanting to move, not wanting to act. In other words, in wanting to be a stone just lying on the road. It is all right for a stone to be inert. That is its dharma. But it is not all right for you and me to be inert, to try to avoid problems. To say, what does it matter? When I hear the phrase well adjusted, I do not always take it as a favorable comment. Mahatma Gandhi has said that to be well adjusted in a wrong situation is very bad. In a wrong situation, we should keep on acting to set it right. When Gandhi, at the peak of his political activity, was asked in a British court what is his profession was, he said, Register. Resist not register, resistor, R-E-S-I-S-T-E-R. If he was put in a wrong situation, he just could not keep quiet. He had to resist, non-violently, but very effectively until the situation was set right. In order to transform tamas into rajas, there is a series of simple steps we can all take in our daily life. Postponement is one of the valuable allies of tamas. One of the ways to tackle inertia and expedite its transformation into rajas is never to delay anything. Immediately is one of the favorite words of the mystics who live completely in the present. Jesus often used the word fortuit. Concentration is perhaps the most effective way of transforming tamas into rajas. Those who have a tangible element of tamas can work only for a little while. Even if they are enthusiastic, they will begin work with gusto. But at the end of 30 minutes, their morale collapses. They often complain they are bored. The answer to boredom is to give a little more attention to what we are doing. Any job, the moment we attend to it completely, becomes interesting. If a job bores us, we should not yield to tamas, but should give more attention to our work and try to increase our span of concentration. This not only helps us get over tamas, but helps our meditation as well. I am reading this passage to you because this play of the gunas is very interesting. The transformation of rajas into sattva is not extraordinary either, for all of us have an element of sattva in us. We all have this capacity for some degree of forgiveness and friendship in our relationships. It is already there, we just have to extend it slowly to include a wider and wider circle. There is no human being who does not have an element of tamas. And there is none who does not have an element of sattva. As tamas becomes transformed into rajas, particularly as our meditation deepens, there is more and more energy available to us. There is more capacity for productivity, for action, and for service. We must harness this newly released energy in order to transform it into sattva. One reason why I emphasize that we should have plenty of physical exercise and should work at our job or studies with concentration is that this enables us to harness all this energy. If we meditate regularly but do not take regular exercise, do not work at a suitable job, and do not give at least some of our time to selfless service without thought of return, there is a possibility that this energy may become too much for us. Though there is a vital need for hard work, we should take care in our fast-paced modern world to see that we do not get caught in work. This is one of the real dangers against which we should be on guard. There are people who become victims of work, who carry their work from their office or campus into their living room, then into the dining room while they eat, and then into the bedroom to dream about in their sleep. We should do our work with concentration and yet be able to drop it with complete detachment at a minute's notice. This frees us from tension and enables us to give our very best. The characteristics of the man established in sattva are calmness, compassion, and complete fearlessness. When the mind is agitated, judgment is likely to be clouded. Therefore, the Gita says, we should never undertake any action when angry or afraid. Such action is not likely to be correct or effective. Anytime our mind is agitated, the repetition of the mantra is a great help in calming our agitation. And when the mind is calm, judgment is clear. Another characteristic of sattva is the capacity to forgive. Most of us perhaps are not even dimly aware of how, under the surface level of consciousness, old resentments keep burning, old hostilities keep flaming up. A sudden agitation or a sudden depression is often caused by old resentments which we still harbor in the depths of our consciousness. We cannot learn to forgive by reading books about forgiveness. I once saw a big book entitled The Dynamics of Forgiveness, and I could not help wondering what the author would have done to me if I had written a strong review against it. He probably would have come to the center and given me a piece of his mind. Writing books about forgiveness, reading about forgiveness, and talking about forgiveness do not enable us to forgive. When we rely upon our own capacities, I do not think it is easy for us to forgive. But when we repeat the mantra, the holy name, we are calling upon the Lord to help us transform all our resentments into love. Finally, Sri Krishna concludes that it is not enough if we transform tamas into rajas and rajas into sattva. We must go beyond sattva also. Going beyond the three gunas means going beyond time, space and causality. Going beyond death into eternity, immortality and infinity, here and now. All right, you can ask me questions. Sahaja Yoga, S-A-H-A-J-A, Sahaja. Sahaja means natural. Yoga means union, natural union. In other words, constant recollectedness of God. You see, sometimes we see, when the river starts from the top of the mountain, we see its terrible fall. It is roaring, making noise, pushing the boulders down, and there is so much noise. But when that same river flows over the plain, there is no noise. Even you do not see the movement of the river. Over the surface, seeing the surface, you feel that the river, it is a massive water, vast expanse of water. There is no movement. But there is an undercurrent. So a yogi sometimes talk to you, chat with you, or eat, or sleep, this and that. But those are, on the surface you see all those things, but inside he has an undercurrent of God thought. He constantly thinks of God. I saw a picture of Swami Brahmananda. His disciple told me, who was an attendant of Swami Brahmananda, many times we prepare tobacco for Maharaj. He was smoking the pipe. The pipe was on his, in between his lips, He was not just smoking. The entire tobacco was burnt, was consumed by fire. Perhaps half an hour, 1 hour after he came back to normal consciousness, hey, where is my tobacco? It is called Sahaja Yoga. Completely forgot about his surrounding time, space. One of our Swamis mentioned about the direct disciples of Sri Ramakrishna. We watched all these direct disciples and we noticed invariably all of them had some kind of forgetfulness. How can I explain that word? Ekta onnomonosko bhav. Onnomonosko means forgetfulness about the surrounding and the place and time and people. Talking, at least he is not there. His body is there, but his mind was not there. Many times we noticed this phenomenon in the life of the direct disciples of Sri Ramakrishna. Once Swami Shivananda said to a Swami that get up early in the morning and practice a little meditation. Well, Maharaj, I feel sleepy. In daytime I cannot get any energy to work. Oh, then you sleep more. But you see, I get up at 3:30, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and I sit for meditation, and whole day I stay in an intoxicated state. I get intoxication when I meditate. And that intoxication continues the whole day. Maharaj, we don't get that type of intoxication when we meditate. Oh, you don't get. You know, to them that is natural. To us, oof, if we get a little intoxication, that day we are so happy, we call friends, hey, I got intoxication today. Eh? But that is natural to them.
Om asato ma satkamaya, tamaso ma jyotirkamaya, mrittor ma amritam gamaya, abir avir ma yedhi, rudrayate dakshinam mukam, tinamam pahi nityam, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality. Light us through and through and guide us evermore with thy loving presence. Peace, peace, peace.